for the service here between 9:15 and 9:45 a.m. So today was our first day trying that. So if you weren't aware of that, in the future, if you're in a hurry and trying to get here, don't worry, we have breakfast covered for you. If you're interested in helping serve with that, Mike Eichen, after me, is setting up the schedule. If you want to cook or help out or help provide some of the food for that or have a preference, what that is, please talk to Mike. The next thing we want, one of the things we're focusing on this year is praying for individually as a church family. One of our big initiatives is our college leadership training, CLT, which is in your bulletin. We put on partner, maybe someone you don't normally do with, do that. Pray for our college leadership training and our summer. Pray that this would be good for their lives and they would see the work draw people to us. And thank you for praying together. This is the time in our service where we take offering the first tribute, but giving. Paul says God loves and gives. You're not supposed to give under compulsion, but believe. Way to honor and worship God. How He has blessed you. You see God providing for you and His financial life. He looks out for you to lead in your circumstances. It's a way to put Him first and honor God.
How's everybody doing today? Good. Got to check my email here. No. Actually, I'm looking up. I realized if someone wants to give me a Bible. No, I'll just read it on my phone when we get to it. I was like, oh, I'm supposed to read something out of the Bible. And but it's going to be the phone Bible later. That's okay. Well, that was great. Pran, Felicity, and I prayed for CLT. And she said she had a great time in the sports camp last year. So that was good. And, well, the CLT outreach. And so we're looking forward to what the Lord has. CLTers are going to the zoo today, right? Yeah. That sounds like a lot of fun. I kind of want to go. But I'm too tired from yesterday's party and everything. So, but we had a good time with some of you guys yesterday. And this morning, it was great to see the breakfast. And the CLTers going for fellowship. And I think they're all pretty excited about the zoo. So I think it's going to be a fun time. Well, today we're wrapping up, not actually today, but we're on towards the tail end of our series this spring on getting off the path. And we've been going through all these different things that can derail our pursuit of God. And this morning we're going to be looking at this, a danger in our walk with God, a danger of busyness over vision. When we live our lives through busyness versus the driver of our life being a vision of following God. And often we can say we have a vision, and yet our lives, our busyness crowds it out. And even though we say this is our vision for our life, our busyness crowds it out, distracts, and derails us from, gets us off the track of following Him. Because we live in this great American suburban lifestyle. How many of you live in the great American suburban lifestyle? Should be everybody in this room. And for many of us, this can be a predominant trap of this lifestyle, busyness, and being too busy. Here's some statistics from surveys that I randomly looked up from different demographics. This is not the most scientific analysis, but these are some surveys that I found interesting. One was a survey of 1,000 kids, said that 41% of children ages 9 to 13 said they feel stressed because they have too much to do. And along with that, they said three-fourths of those same kids, the same bracket surveyed, said that they wish they had more free time. Our society is so stressed lately with not just school. We've always had school, but now we have all these other things. And all these sports and all these programs, all these activities, all this intramural stuff, all this stuff that can stress kids out. And I would say from personal experience, my family, the teenagers, also feel these same things in high school years. Feel stressed out. Feel like they wish they had more time. I hear that from my daughter all the time now. She's a freshman in high school. She's stressed out with all that she has to do and feels like wish that she had more free time. So, another survey I thought was interesting showed that of that same demographic group, more kids, you know, kids always want to spend more time with their parents. But in this survey, it also showed that more kids wanted less stress for their parents versus even spending more time with them. The kids are saying, my parents are stressed out too in society. And I wish, even though I want to spend more time with my parents, I also wish more so that my parents wouldn't be so stressed out. So why are parents all stressed out? These were some slides that I found that were pretty funny. This one's a good one. How many of you get a little stressed out commuting in the suburban area? And this little statistic, and I don't know how they determined this, said that the average commuter has way more stress than the average fighter pilot. You know? And I think that's true in our suburbs. I don't think during wartime, though, a fighter pilot. But let's just say, you know, probably when they're like doing the Blue Angels demonstrations or whatever, they know what they're doing. But we're stressed out commuting. You know, it was so funny. Friday, I like got on the train in Glen Ellen, and it was warm and sunny. And I got off the train in the city, and it was like freezing and windy. And that was alone. We were like, oh. So we get stressed out commuting. Then when we get to work, the average work week in the U.S. is greater than average of most nations, especially European nations. Look at that. In Italy, they only work 6.8-hour days. How many of you would like to work a 6.8-hour day? And United Kingdom, 7.8. United States, 8.8. I think Japan is Japan obviously has longer work hours, but if you put Japan aside, I think we're number two, although we're far away from the craziness of Japan's work life. But we work more hours in our society. And then we also take less vacation. Now, this is an extreme comparison. The top one is the average vacation days for American workers, and the bottom one is average vacation days for workers in Norway. So we take like 2 weeks vacation on average, and Norway takes on average 70 days of vacation a year. Isn't that awesome? And that's extreme. We always joke about it. It's like that all over Europe. They take a lot more vacation days. We used to have consultants at work. We're like, oh, they're on holiday again this week. You know, it's like, all right, you got to get them during that 1 week. They're actually working this month. Otherwise, they're running around the country. But secretly, we're very envious and jealous of that lifestyle. So we work longer hours. We don't rest as much. We take less vacation. And then on top of that, this statistic shows that these are all American workers. And the ones in red are ones that get insufficient sleep at night. So that's 40 million Americans. 40 million Americans get insufficient sleep at night. Don't get enough rest. So we're stressed out driving to work, we work longer hours, take less time off, don't get enough sleep, we're cranky, and it's so easy to neglect and ignore those priorities that God has for us. It looks like, how many of you guys feel like this lady sometimes? I know we do at times in our household. So busyness can lead to stress and problems and all these other things, but more importantly, and the most important thing, what we're going to talk about today, is that busyness can lead to a distracted life away from God as priority in our lives. A life run by the clock and run by an endless to-do list can easily, ultimately, cause us to neglect God as priority in our life in many different ways as followers of Him. So this morning we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about that, to teach us about that, about putting God first, and what that looks like in our lives, live that life of vision over busyness. So let's pray, and then we're going to dive in. Father, we just acknowledge that we're in a crazy lifestyle in the suburbs, Lord, and so many demands in different ways. And Lord, that it's so easy to neglect you, Lord. We confess that it's so easy to neglect you in so many different ways. Ask this morning that you teach our hearts deep down, Lord, that you would drive a stake deep down in our hearts to desire to live a life of vision of following you, Lord. And then when that stake is there, Lord, that we plan and schedule our lives around that, Lord, rather than letting our lives be planned and scheduled with other goals, other demands, other priorities. Lord, we don't want to live just on this earth, just a life of busyness that just we're busy and then we die. Lord, we want to live a life of vision for you. So we lift up this morning for that. Amen. First step in living a visionary life over one of busyness is to align your priorities with God's will for you. Align your priorities with God's will for you. Now, the classic Bible verse, if you want to pull out your Bible, and I'll pull out my Bible on the phone. The classic Bible story about priorities and busyness is the Mary Martha story with Jesus. We'll just read it real quick. It's real short. Luke 10, 38 through 42. So grab your Bible, follow along. Luke 10, third gospel. 10, 38 through 42. I have NIV. So if you have NIV there, you can follow along. Otherwise, you just have to interpret as I read. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Verse 39, she had a sister called Mary. Isn't that funny? She had a sister called, would it be like named Mary? I don't know how to translate this. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." And the Lord responds, it's in verse 41, says, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Classic Mary versus Martha story. We felt like that a little bit yesterday during Daniel's grad party, and, you know, busy, and we're like, oh, we didn't get to talk to people that much. But like, all these people were there, and I think we only said, like, hi to so many of them. And you're busy working. And here's Martha, you know, and she's Jesus and her whole and his whole entourage. She invited into the house, you know. We know what that felt like yesterday. The whole entourage invited in your house, and you're trying to show hospitality. So this can be a puzzling story for Christians at times, you know. Hey, we're called to have hospitality. Have people into our homes, and yet, you know, that requires some busyness and some activity. And if you've been a Christian for any length of time and been in a church for any length of time, you realize, you know, somebody's got to do the work. Somebody has to do the work. Church doesn't just run by itself. It runs by people working, serving, and being busy doing that, those things. But if you look closely at this story, the lesson here, Jesus is not against serving at all. Jesus never talks against serving. You know, we're called to serve. Throughout the Bible, we're called to lay down our lives and serve each other, to show hospitality. We're called to those things. But the story is just about making sure that our priorities are in line, to make Jesus and his word the priority in your life. That Jesus and his word are the priority. To hear his word is the priority. And if you notice, if you look in that section we just read, Jesus doesn't admonish Martha's service. He doesn't say, "Martha, you're serving too much. You know, Mary's turned, chosen the best path, you know, the better path." No, what is he? Gently admonishes her, not for serving, but for being worried and upset about many things. You know, see, service is a good thing. It's a priority. Service is a good thing. It's a priority for a believer to serve. But the lesson here is that listening to Jesus is the bigger priority, is the most important priority, the number one priority, is spending time listening to Jesus. And the reality for many of us is that we have a little bit of Mary and Martha in all of us, don't we? We all have a little bit of Mary and Martha in all of us, and that's a struggle in our lives, you know? And it's easy for us to get so distracted with our busyness in serving, and busyness in other ways, that we neglect that time with Jesus. That's why Mary chose the right path. She made Jesus the priority for her at that time. Our service to the Lord does not produce Christ-centered life. When you serve the Lord, it doesn't produce a Christ-centered life. A Christ-centered life results in, produces service. Let me repeat that again. Our service to the Lord is not what produces a Christ-centered life. A Christ-centered life produces service to the Lord. Jesus said, "Few things are needed, indeed only one," is what he says. Few things are needed, indeed only one. And Jesus' lesson is about priorities. Now, I know I've been moaning to you the past couple weeks about my sore shoulder, my calcific tendonitis, and I've got a lot of motion back. I'm back up, I'm at 45%, or 45 degrees now, so I'm feeling a lot better. And so I went back to our orthopedic specialist. And anyway, the first time we went to him, it was pretty interesting. He's a believer. He's a kind of friend of somebody, a guy that I used to room with in my house. And so we were sitting there just chatting. There's all these people in the living room, and we're chatting about stuff. And he said, we're talking about sending our kids away to college. And he said, "Well, when my boys left for college, I told them, listen, you'll make a lot of decisions that'll be wrong, and you'll have to change your decisions and everything, but there's really only two decisions in your life that really matter. The rest of the stuff," he said three, but really two that are critical, "and the rest of the stuff will kind of work its way itself out." And so we kind of knew what he was going to say, but kind of drew him out, and he said, "Number one is who you're going to follow, you know, in this case, Jesus, the most important decision, and He said, number two, who you decide to marry, to get married, because that's going to change your life in huge ways on the way you live. And he was like, I made a lot of mistakes, but at least I got those first two right, you know. And so finally he's like, I better get to other patients. So we're chatting it up. But the point is priorities. It's all about priorities. It's not that you're not going to do other things. You are going to do other things. You're going to be busy. You're going to live productive lives, do all these things. But what are your priorities? Are you getting those right? Let's look at a few verses on this highest level of priority as a Christian. Jesus replied, we're just going to run through these, not really talk about it too much, but you can write them down and have a quiet time around these later. These are there's so many core verses about this, but I just picked out six. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's when the Pharisees said, what's the greatest command? This is it. Number one priority, love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. But seek first, Jesus said, his kingdom and his righteousness. All these things will be given to you as well, just like my orthopedic surgeon was saying. You know, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. The rest of the stuff, don't worry about it. The Lord's got it. He'll steer you in different ways. Romans 12, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. To love the Lord, to seek first his kingdom, to seek to please God, that should be our priority. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God, like we talked about in the core meeting. Glorify the Lord. Do it for all that you do for the glory of God, your number one priority. Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. Gave himself for me. Live by faith in the Son of God. It's a priority in our life. First Thess. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. What's the goal here? To please God. To love him. To follow him. To glorify him. As in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. Make this more and more reflective of your life. More and more the priority of your life. Is your personal vision for your life in line with these verses? This is a real thing that we need to face square in our hearts. We need to just settle down and say, wow, is this really the stake in my heart? Is this really where my heart is? Is this what I'm giving myself to? The nice thing about being a believer is that if you're a non-believer, you know, you're like, oh, what should I do in life? You know, with a believer, it's pretty well laid out. That's the great thing. We don't have to think about it too much. Our number one priority is pretty much laid out as a believer. It's all throughout Scripture. And is this the vision of our life on a high level? So each of us need to do these two steps. Number one is to give assent to God as your priority, to say in your hearts, yes, God, you are going to be my priority. It's so clear in Scripture. I agree that as a believer, as a follower of you, you are going to be my priority. And then the second step is to embrace it, to own it. You know, it's one thing just to give intellectual assent, but it's another to embrace it as your own, where it becomes a conviction staked in your heart. I was sharing at the CLT meeting Wednesday night about a little story. I've shared parts of the story before with you guys of where I owned, you know, something. I put a stake deeper in my heart, and it was with this. This is pre-Barbara days, pre-Barbara time. You know, long before I met Barbara, and this girl I was interested in, and she kind of put the halt on a relationship because I was a new Christian. She wanted me to grow in the faith. And it was in college, but I wanted to be more than friends. I didn't want to just be in the friend zone. You know, that's like a millennial thing. And I wanted to be more than friends, but she kept kind of putting the brakes on it. And I wrestled with this for a year and a half. And finally, I was a new Christian during this time. So there's a lot of things going on in my life and my heart. Finally, one weekend, I was home and I was in the Word. And I read a verse in the Psalms that said, something along the lines of, you trust in your own heart, you're a fool, but trust in the Lord and you'll prosper. And that resonated deep in my heart. And right there in my room at home, I poured out to God and I said, I give you this relationship. I've been trusting my heart on whether we should be together for a year and a half. And now I just want to give this to you and trust in you. If you want this relationship to manifest, I give it to you. And I'll tell you, when I did that, I owned it for the first time. I owned trusting the Lord. You know, I had read it. I had been a believer then for almost as long. And so I was giving assent to, I need to trust the Lord. But it wasn't until that weekend that I really owned it, embraced it in my heart to trust the Lord for everything in my life. Because this was probably at that time one of the most important things that I was thinking about as a young college guy. And then I had this peace. I remember sitting in church back home the next day and feeling very peaceful, like I was on the right track. And then I found out later that day that a young lady had passed away that morning. And the Lord, you know, just drew me to that point in time. And I know I've shared some of this before, but the point was, drew me to be able to release it to Him, knowing what was going to happen. And that's the way we ought to live, to own it. If all you ever do is agree with this stuff about it intellectually, it's not going to be yours, you know. You can read about it in the Word. You can listen to me preach about it. You can hear your parents talk about it. But it's got to be your own. You have to embrace it and own it for yourself. Your own heart needs to choose to follow God. Make Him your number one priority, to trust Him in all things, to love Him in all things. Let's just pause now for a moment of personal prayer and just privately to yourself, maybe just talk to the Lord about these things that we've talked about so far. Maybe there's something you need to talk to Him about. Just do that now. Step after we own God's priorities for our life is to plan to live those priorities. A couple more verses, Romans. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die for the Lord, Paul says. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. 2 Corinthians, Paul says. Why? Why do we want to live for the Lord? Well, he says it here in 2 Corinthians. For Christ's love compels us. His love compels us, motivates us, causes us. You know, Paul said he was a bondservant to the Lord. That means he was like a slave to the Lord, but it wasn't forced. It was chosen, volunteer. He volunteered to be a servant of the Lord. But for Christ's love compels him, and should compel us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for who? Should no longer live for themselves, but for who? For Christ, who died for them and was raised again. That should manifest itself through all the little things that we do. I think if a lot of us admit it and really evaluate our lives and say, there's a lot of things we live for ourselves, not for the Lord. But we need more to understand Christ's love. That's why Paul says, I pray that their eyes would be open to the depth of God's love for them, because he knows that when you're compelled by God's love, you're going to live more and more for Him. These verses show us that a believer who has aligned their priorities with God's priorities will then set their hearts on living them out. Paul was clearly saying, you know, set your heart. He's setting his heart. He's going to live for the Lord. Christ's love is motivating him to live for God in all that he does, to carry out God's vision for his life. We need to plan to live in an intentional lifestyle. Intentional is where you just don't get carried along by any priorities or anything that you're involved with, but you intentionally choose the stakes in your heart. You're going to intentionally plan to live those out in your life. Because if you don't, busyness will dethrone those convictions. You will say, I have these convictions, but if you don't intentionally plan to live them out, Busyness is going to consume your life, and it will. For the past 12 months, have probably been the busiest year of my entire life, the past 12 months. So all of you guys that are in school say, oh, how could life get busier than this? You know, I'm 52 or whatever, and this year has been my busiest year, and I went through school and college and all that, and I had some busy weeks, but this has been the busiest year of my life, especially with so many different things, including all these college decisions that we made as a family, and it's been great, but boy, has it been busy, very busy. At the beginning of the year 2008, Barbara and I had some discussions about how we're going to live out our priorities with all the demands on our time. You know, we need to intentionally plan these out, discuss these things. Don't just get through the year and realize, wow, I just got carried along with all this stuff and never lived out my priorities. And I was inspired by something that Dave and Dawn Bovenmeyer did that I read about in a writing, I think, that Dawn made, where Dave and Dawn Bovenmeyer, Dave's a pastor out in Ames, Iowa. Many of you know him, but he said that Dave and Dawn, they get together at the beginning of the year and they plan out their priorities for the year, that these are our priorities. And then, we'll talk about it this later too, then they get out and schedule it out for the year. So it's done. They're intentionally living. And that inspired me, and so I don't think Barbara and I did nearly as well as Dave and Dawn, but it helped us to plan out priorities for the year and then make plans, or to, you know, talk about your priorities for the year and then plan out how you're going to live them out. Life is short. I was thinking about you guys that are math. Who's a math person here? You guys, yeah, you're a math person. Abby. You're like a scientist. What are you talking about? You're an engineer. You know? Did anyone tell you that engineering is really math? Okay. All right. Maybe you should change major. All right. No. So anyway, a number line, life, you know, a number line, right? If we have a number line here, it starts here, it goes out that way. You know, the number zero, we'll just say, is when you're born. And let's say we live to be 100 years old. So there's a point in time on that number line when we're born. This is really simple, man. So don't worry, everyone will get this one. There's a point in time when we're born, and there's a point in time when we die. Is everyone following me so far? Okay, all right. So if your birthday is here, and when you pass from this earth is here, and let's say it's 110 years, then that's the timeline of your life. But how long does that timeline go out for? Who's good at math? Who knows how long that timeline is? Eternity, infinity, forever. And whether we live to be 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 110, you know, that's such a short time if you think of that number line going out the building and going forever. And that's the way it is with us as Christians. We live for eternity since we were born, for eternity. And this is such a, life is so short. Our time on earth is such a short blip of time. It's so short. That's why Paul exhorts us to live intentionally now for Christ, because our time on this earth is short. Live intentionally. Plan to live intentionally now. And Paul gives two verses to admonish us on this in two different categories of people, one for believers, one for unbelievers. For believers, oh, actually, this isn't Paul. The author of Hebrews says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching, we're on a timeline. Consider how we might spur one another on to love and good deeds, all the more. And to non-believers, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Be wise in the way you act toward our outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Make the most of it. Don't put it off. Don't put it off, your interactions with unbelievers and spurring each other on. We talked at the core meeting about two key purposes for the church. To help each other grow as believers and to be a lighthouse to the community. And those are both key things. And what Paul's and the author of Hebrews is saying is the time is short. Do it now. Don't put these. Don't say, okay, yeah, I agree with these things, and someday I'll get to them. But plan these out in your heart now, in your lives now. Life is short. What's interesting is we laid this out kind of as these are purposes for the church, but that's because they're purposes for Christians. The church is just Christians, you know. So the same way as we as a church are trying to plan things out corporately to live these things out in our church life, you know, it just reflects what an individual believer is. And so it's natural that believers would jump on board with the things we're doing as a church because it should be aligned with our personal vision of what we do as a believer. So I was encouraged as we announced today we want to have breakfast Sunday, and within days, you know, Angie texted me and said, I'll head that up. And some other people said that they would help and whatnot. You know, you didn't have to ask anybody because you guys are already aligned with purposes, the living out the purposes that God has for us, the mandates of God's purposes for our life. Let's just take another, before we conclude the third section of this message, and just take another short minute to pray about it. Planning out to live your priorities of following God. Just take a minute in prayer between you and God. Anything that's on your heart, you already met. So now, once you've aligned your priorities with God's will and you intentionally plan to live them out, the last step is to schedule your priorities. Your schedule is where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? Really. We could have just skipped everything and said, go to your schedule, but it's important that we have this lined up from top to bottom. Your schedule is where busyness happens, because you look at your schedule of time, and that's where you see busyness crowds out things. And it's either going to get, your schedule is either going to get filled up with other people's agendas, or it's going to get filled up with your intentional agendas for living for the Lord. Either others' people's agenda or your own. Now, everyone hold out your hand with your top on, your thumb on top and your pinky on the bottom. Okay, so let's say we have five priorities, and I want you to just take a minute. You don't have to hold it up high, just hold it up yourself. Let's say your thumb is your number one priority in your life, and your pinky is number five. Okay, pinky isn't a low priority, it's just number five compared to, these are your top five, they're all important. So just take a second, and I know many of you have done this just because it's so clearly mandated in Scripture in different ways, but just take a minute and think, to yourself, just lay out, what are your five top priorities? Just lay them out, keep your thumb on top so that's number one, pinky on the bottom. What are they? Just think it through, just touch your fingers and say, okay, that's my number one priority. 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay? Raise your hand if you need more time. All right. So for me, I know, and these are pretty classic, you know, my number one priority is my relationship with God. Obviously, we've been talking about it all morning. Number one priority. Number two priority is my most important human relationship, my spouse. And my number three priority is relationship with other family members, my kids especially. And then number four, I was having a hard time with four and five on which order, but four I decided was my church, and five was my secular job, and I don't know, you can probably argue how that all fits together. And then if you're in school better be in there. You know, because you don't have a job. We always tell our kids, you know, school is your job, is your work. So realign your priorities, get school in there. Now, if you have your five, if many of us are honest and you look at your schedule, what does your schedule look like if you look at the hours you spend? Oftentimes, for many people, their schedules are like this. Is that true? With so many things, Our schedule is almost the exact opposite of what we say our priorities are. You know, we give so much time to this work thing different ways or school thing, you know, and we say, oh, I'm so busy with school, I don't have time to have a quiet time because I got all these demands from school. But wait a minute, you just said this was your priority, and yet you don't even have time to spend some time in devotional with the Lord. You know, that's not really your priority. If you look at your schedule, it's your set priority, but not the way you're living it out. Your schedule doesn't reflect it. And, you know, so many different things. I'm always realizing, you know, that, okay, Barbara's supposed to be my most important human relationship, and yet, boy, it's hard to schedule date times together to make that a priority. And that's how our life goes, if we're honest. For me, I've had to make some hard decisions this year, especially because of how busy life has been, and realizing, wow, my schedule is like this when it should be like this. I had to make some hard decisions in different ways and to live out priorities. And like I said, I haven't arrived, and I haven't done everything very well, but I've at least made some changes to my schedule to try to accommodate my priorities and to live more intentionally. For instance, with the priority of my kids, Barbara and I had to have some long talks. It's mostly her admonishing me. You know, took a few times, but it finally got through the thick skull, you know. And that I had fallen in a pattern this winter of staying up late watching a show or whatever in some series or something, and not going to bed till midnight, and then not being able to get up on time early enough. And so all my kids were gone to school before I got out of the house. Then taking like the 8:15 train to work and getting there like at 9:15 or whatever. So then I got to take a later train to get home and miss time with the family. The reality was that my schedule didn't sync up with the rhythm of our family very well, right? And so I was missing out on so little time. And so to make that family time a priority that I say or it was a priority for my life, I had to make changes. First week was a little rough. The transition week was a little rough. But finally, I got to the point where I was going to bed earlier, getting up earlier, and then I would drive Elizabeth to school every morning. So every morning now, I had that time with Elizabeth that I didn't have before, driving her to school, and I was able to catch an earlier train and take a likewise earlier train home at night, have more time at home, so more in sync with the family as best as we could line it up with work demands and all that. Another hard schedule change that I had to make this year was to spend less time with Awana. And so we as elders talked that through, and Dean and I co-led the night so that we were able to double up time. Jonathan and I were able to drive to Awana and hang out. And he does a puppet show, I did my thing, and we picked up some kids. And then we leave early, and then Dean was there for the rest of the night, and other people picked up walking kids home, and actually people picked up, Linda did a lot of picking up too, with all the activities at the end of the year for us. And so that was a hard decision. We had to make a schedule change. As a result, Jonathan and I would often leave by 7:45, 8, and many times we went to Culver's, hung out, had a little ice cream flavor of the week, and had a good hangout time, talking about the Word together, time that we wouldn't have had if we didn't make schedule changes. We have to look at our priorities and make hard decisions, make schedule changes to make sure our priorities fit in to our schedule. Finally, I made a commitment to take days off work so that Daniel and I could drive to all these college campuses this winter. And we had a great time together. You know, even if the college wasn't one that would really work out, we had a great time together. Hanging out during the driving time, talking about important things, and visiting this college. Double up. We have to make hard decisions in our schedules if we're really going to live intentionally, not be carried around along by busyness, but live intentionally our priorities in our life. Paul says this. He says, be very careful then how you live. Be very careful. That's what he's talking about. Be very careful don't just let other things, other people's agendas, other priorities carry you away. Paul says, be very careful in how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Don't put off till tomorrow what you know you need to do today. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Understand the way the Lord wants you to live. In other words, he's saying, don't waste your time. You don't have that much time on this earth. Don't waste your time. Live according to God's priorities, his will for your life. The challenge is this. What schedule changes do you need to make in order to live out your priorities? Simple. That's where the rubber meets the road. What schedule changes do you need to make to live out your priorities? Why don't you just take one more moment, pray about this between you and the Lord, and then I'll close up the message. Father, we ask that you would, that these things would ruminate in our hearts, Lord. Your word, your priorities for our life, Lord, is so strong. Your message is so strong that you desire us to live in line with you, Lord, with what you're doing in us, through us, Lord, with you, Lord, that you're our priority. That you're, when people look at our plans, when they look at our schedules, Lord, they see you in the way we live our lives and the way we schedule our lives and the things that we do, Lord. Help us to live intentional lives, to have intentional schedules in our life, Lord, that reflect your priority, that our lives might be a glory to you in all that we do, Lord, that we make the most of our time, Lord, most of the opportunities that you give before us in the short time we have on earth. Lord, for those that are young, high school, college, Lord, and they have their whole lives ahead of us, and they think, oh, we'll get to that eventually, Lord. But life goes by so fast. Lord, cement these things in their hearts now that they might be more in love with you and more desiring to follow you, Lord, in all the important decisions they make during this time in life as a young adult. And we lift them up especially to you, but all of us, Lord, help us to realign, to reassess, to realign our lives. All you do. We lift ourselves up.